now we're in for a special treat, at least I'm in for a special treat, and I think all of you will feel the same way. This young lady I didn't meet a long time ago, but she just immediately went in my heart. And I think anybody here that's ever met her knows she's just a bundle of love. And she understands something. I think God's laws are easy to understand. As you give, you will receive, you know. La, 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 and that's it. Man's laws, Reverend I. Hill used to say, man's laws have gummed us up from the White House down. That was Reverend Ida Hill, that was my earthly teacher. And but this girl understands law enough that she teaches it. Can you imagine that? I can't. I wouldn't even sign up for one of her classes. Because I wouldn't want to prove to her how incapable I am of understanding man's laws. So I won't join her class. But we get to listen as she shares. She was telling me God stories, and I said, oh, I think we should have those on a Wednesday night, don't you think? She said, okay. So our young lady tonight is going to tell us some of her God stories. And that's the one that if you don't already know her, get ready, you're going to fall in love with Yudoka.
So, I normally don't type out what I have to say, but I did tonight because I just had so much going on in my head. So I actually typed it out, so I'm going to read it, which is normally not like me, but so bear with me. Okay. So the name of my talk today is Coincidence, or should I say Confirmation? So I'll start with some definitions. Coincidence, a striking occurrence of two or more events at one time, apparently by mere chance. Confirmation, a rite administered in some churches as a sacrament for confirming and strengthening the recipient in the Christian faith, in others as a rite without sacramental character by which the recipient is admitted into full communion with the church. So basically tonight, I'm going to be talking about how I've seen coincidences as really being confirmations that we are in full communion, or at least growing towards full communion with Spirit. So 8 years ago, I never would have imagined that I'd be where I am today, like literally here in this pulpit and spiritually. Oddly enough, my quest began out of sheer frustration. Why wasn't my life filled with purpose? Where did I see myself in the future? Why wasn't I married? Why wasn't I in the perfect job? Heck, why wasn't I rich? In short, why wasn't I happy? I mean, like, really happy. Like, happy for no reason happy. I really wasn't joyful. I realized that God, or Spirit, or Creator, Universe, whatever you want to call it, really has a way of getting our attention. We wonder why our lives are a hectic mess. But it will be if we never stop to take the time to clean it up. And I thought of it being kind of like a pile of laundry that you do when you sit on your couch, on your bed, and you get too busy, too lazy, too tired to fold it. But then each time you pass, you get frustrated that why is that pile is still sitting there? And then you remember that you live alone and that if it's going to get folded, you need to stop what you're doing and fold it. So that's kind of the point that I got to 8 years ago. And looking back, I was simply just walking by that proverbial pile of clothes and complaining. But what was awesome is that God saw that I was really getting serious about remembering why I came. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. And what's great is that God is always there to help you remember why you came if you, one, really truly desire it, and number two, are willing to embark upon the path, which can be scary at times because it's unknown, or so we think it is. So the way that God did this for me is that he started placing people in my path, different people, odd people. Spiritual people, actually. And coincidentally, I began meeting and befriending psychics and mediums and clairvoyants, all people in my square Christian upbringing that I didn't associate with because I was taught that they were of the devil. But these people and their thought patterns challenged my way of thinking. It made me wonder where my beliefs had really been taking me thus far, And was it finally time to shed thought patterns and emotions that no longer served me? Was there really an easier and more loving way to move through life? Would I finally get the answer to, why was I here in this life? And Spirit answered and said, yes, if you would just shut up and listen for once. Maybe you would hear all the things we've been trying to tell you over the past couple years. I was like, okay, touche. So that's when my journey finally began, 8 years after I thought I started it. So why did it take so long? Well, I had a conversation with myself in December. I was talking to a friend and speculated and verbalized out loud for the first time that I thought the reason why it had taken so long to arrive at my starting point is that I was scared. I was scared that if I allowed myself to fully step into the calling that I'd always felt deep inside, I would end up having to give up all the fun stuff in life. I basically have to move to a nunnery and become a nun. I had to stop cursing and drinking and partying, and I had to start living this pious life that would be boring and that I wouldn't be happy. And I was scared that people who knew me wouldn't believe me, that it was the real me. Well, that was just the opposite. Spirit knew the real me, and everyone else was getting the boring me. So as you would have guessed it, Spirit confirmed this for me a few days later at a reading with a reverend at First Spiritualist Church. During this reading, this reverend received the following messages for me. She said that I'd come into this life to be a strong, independent, no-nonsense woman. Yeah. Right. I was like, okay. And she said that I had the choice to renunciate, but it's not what I really wanted in this life. And for those of you who don't know what that word means, it means basically to go off and live like a monk. She also said that I came to use my gifts in this world. And she told me that Spirit showed her a picture of pieces of block fitting together, and she heard the word integrate. And as she told me this, my mouth fell open, literally, and I sat in silence. She then got the message that I'd lived in a monastery in a previous life and that life was very comfortable for me then. I liked being alone, in solitude, without having to be surrounded by those who were not like me. But that in this life, I wanted to see if I could be that same spiritual person, but in the world. And I was like, okay, this makes 100% sense to me because that described me exactly. What was even more mind-blowing to me, and that in the same conversation I had with my friends a few days before, when I spoke of wanting to use the spiritual gifts that I've been discovering recently, I told that friend that I wanted to learn to integrate myself and really accelerate those who I came across every day. So when I heard her say the word integrate during my reading, I knew that Spirit was giving me the confirmation that I needed to keep me remembering why I came. So let me back up in the story so you can really see where all this fits in. Several months before, in June 2015, on a Tuesday, I was talking to myself at home, and I said that I thought one of the keys to remembering why I came, what I wanted to resolve in this life, and how I wanted to grow spiritually, was to find out about what past lives I had that led me to this one. I figured that if we indeed made contracts to come to this earth school to evolve our souls, I must have had some experiences before that I didn't get right, that I wanted to fix this time. And since Spirit understood that I can be stubborn and that I always need clear directions, the very next night I came to Forum here. And after Forum, I was in the carriage house with Rick and struck up a conversation. And out of the blue, Rick says that he had recently had a past life reading from a friend of his. And he began to tell me about it. And my eyes crossed. And I had to stop him to make sure I heard him correctly. And he said, oh yeah, she's great. Do you want her number? I was like, yes. Oh my God, yes, yes. And I was amazed how fast Spirit had handled that request on my behalf. Again, I felt that Spirit was letting me know that Spirit had my back and that I needed to continue to put one foot in front of the other and that they would continue to light my path. So I did the reading. And during the reading, I learned about three past lives that had the most bearing on this life here. And they are this, in summary. One time, I died as a child with hatred in my heart for my mother. After that, I came back, and I wasn't such a nice person again. And let's just say I felt it was my role to rid the world of witches. And also, I was a lawyer in that life. The last one you told me about, I was a Native American healer that saved the lives of many children and the elderly. So being the skeptic that I am, I was surprised at how some of these things resonated with me on a soul level. And being the lawyer that I am, I began to try to make logical sense of what she told me. And I felt spirits stepping in and saying, you can tell yourself what you want to, but you know that this resonates with you on a soul level. Then I thought, well, she could have made this up. This really can't be right. But then I stopped and I examined my life as it was, and I saw every single parallel to what she had said. Regarding my mother, I have always had a strange relationship with her in this life. I never felt a true connection or motherly love from her because she's tough, independent, and non-nurturing. Coincidentally, the traits that would help me be the strong, independent woman that I am in this life. I now understand that I needed her for that role and that I came to resolve and release that anger that I've been holding on from back then. Regarding the witches, ever since I was a child, I always knew when I came across a person who was a witch, whether they said so or not. I would get a shiver down my neck and there would be an instant, unspoken uneasiness between me and that person. And when I would speak of this to my friends, they would think I was crazy. And what's so funny is that about 8 years ago, I met a woman through an acquaintance who I thought was cool, and we became really, really good friends. In fact, she has been a guiding force in getting me going on my spiritual path. As we became closer, I learned that she was a witch. I was like, what? What? But I don't like witches, and where's this feeling that I get with witches? And then back in 2011, I got a reading from a psychic, sorry, Millie, in L.A., who I later found out was also a witch. But that psychic told me that I needed to find a spiritualist church here in San Diego so I could be around others like me because it would help me grow spiritually. And mind you, I didn't follow this person's advice until October of 2014, which then landed me here at this church in January of 2015. So I thank them for that advice. And finally, 2 years ago, I met another woman who's one of my dearest friends today. And I learned after meeting and befriending her for several months that she was also a witch. So I now understand that I came to resolve and make amends for my actions in regards to witches. And more importantly, what my perceptions were of what they stood for and their beliefs. I find it interesting that the very people I persecuted for likely doing things that we probably do in this same church, such as message bearing and laying hands on and the gift of prophecy, all things that are in the Bible, these are the very people who've been most instrumental in getting me on my real spiritual journey. And last, about the healer, when I was little, I always said that I wanted to be a pediatrician. For some odd reason, I was always drawn to the medical field and children. I just seemed to have a way with them. And growing up, I would spend summers with my aunts and babysit all my infant cousins, and in college, I even became a nanny. However, just prior to graduating, literally in my last semester of college, I changed my mind from heading to medical school to heading to law school. Somehow, I just felt a pull towards the law, even though I had never even ever considered it before, and I didn't know any lawyers. After that past life reading, it now makes sense as to why I made that switch and why the practice of law seemed so natural to me and why I excelled in it so easily and why I end up teaching it now. This pull towards children and babies grew strong during my job when I was working as a deputy district attorney here in San Diego at the juvenile court in Kearny Mesa, which, as you know, is right next to Rady Children's Hospital. Each day I drove past that hospital and I knew that I needed to volunteer there, specifically in the NICU with the babies. So after going through orientation there, I was told that there were not any volunteer spots available in the NICU because it was highly sought after, and everyone who volunteered there never gave up their shifts. And wouldn't you know it, a spot opened up, and I've been volunteering there ever since. And somehow I felt that my presence was healing to them. I felt it on a soul level. Now going back to that June during that past life reading, the woman told me that I still had the knowledge of those spiritual gifts that I'd used in that lifetime, and that all I need to do is just ask for them back. My skepticism kicked in. I said, really? Just ask? And she said, yeah. I said, okay, whatever. But I went home that night, and I asked. And I asked to have my healing abilities back, and I asked to specifically be able to lay hands on people to facilitate healings, as well as to be able to do it remotely, just in case I could not be near them. It was less than a few weeks later that a friend of mine who is a Reiki master offered out of the blue to teach me Reiki. I thought, oh good, here goes spirit at work again. Before I began working with my Reiki master friend, she gave me some information to read about Reiki. After all, as far as I knew, this was foreign to me, or so I thought. I remember sitting on the floor of my bedroom and I began to read the information. What was funny is that I breezed right through it. And as I did so, I felt pressure on the crown of my head, as though I was being literally downloaded with information. Oh, snap, I thought. This is actually coming back to me. As I practiced the symbols, and I immediately felt the energy grow and transfer between my palms. Now, this process literally occurred less than an hour after I began reading the material. And when I reported back to her what happened, she said, "Yeah, I knew you knew. That's why I had you read the information first." It was that night that I again threw my skepticism out the door and asked for all my spiritual gifts back from that Native American lifetime. My energy healing, message bearing, clairvoyance, clairaudience, you name it, I was asking for it. I told Spirit that I was no longer afraid and that I was ready to be used as a channel for healing. And I now use my hands to facilitate healings for the babies that I hold when I'm in the NICU. A few months after that past life reading in June, I learned of the opportunity to get certified in Theta Healing, which is a healing modality where you connect with your creator to heal people emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It was during this certification in October that we learned how to scan bodies for illnesses. And when I found this part out, that it was part of the training, I thanked Spirit for this because I knew this is something that I was meant to do. In fact, back in 2013, a friend of mine passed on some audio MP3s to me to listen to, called Energy Anatomy by Carolyn Mace, who's a medical intuitive. Everything I heard from her resonated with me so well that I said I'd love to be able to do that one day. So it's no surprise, fast forward to 2015, that I'd be given the chance to remember this gift as well. Since October, as many of you know, I've been amazed at how Spirit has been using me. I now regularly practice my healing abilities, the Reiki, remote healing, and medical intuitive. The more I practice, the more I remember. I've also been fortunate enough to be part of Reverend Millie's classes here. And it's in these classes that I've learned to see, smell, and touch energy, to get confirmation of clairvoyant visions, and to be supported and guided in a loving environment which continually enables me to evolve spiritually. And for those of you who are like me who still doubt and question, here's something funny that will bring all of this full circle to today. As most of you know, Reverend Millie talks about God stories, coincidences that could only be God at work. Well, back in January, I had something happen to me that blew my mind. Because after this, on some level, I still questioned my Native American past life and the strength of those gifts. So as you remember, I have an affinity for children. So many of you here know Penny, who's one of the ministers here. She has an arts organization called Art Smarts, and it teaches art to elementary students after school. So when I first heard her mention it during a talk last fall, I was definitely interested. So as it happened, she was looking to hire someone. I said, "Okay, Spirit, I'm on it." So I jumped at the chance and soon began training at a school right by my house in December. The class was full of lovely kids from age kindergarten through fourth grade, and nothing out of the ordinary happened for the first two times that I went. Then the kids had winter break, and the program would resume in January. In the meantime, while they're on break, and just before the new year, I took a friend to get a reading from the same woman who had did my past life reading. Mind you, I hadn't seen her since June. Now, because this friend that I brought to her was new to the whole thing, she wanted me to stay with her just because she was a little bit nervous. So just as we was beginning to start, the woman turned to me and said, "Spirit is telling me to ask you why you haven't been practicing." And my jaw dropped because I knew exactly what she meant. I had allowed myself to get so busy with work that I hadn't been practicing the hand healing and Reiki that I'd asked for. After regaining my composure, I tried to play dumb, and I asked, "What does Spirit mean?" And she said, "They're telling me the work with your hands, the Reiki." I was like, wow, I was busted. Okay. So she had no way of knowing what I asked for that night when I had gotten home, nor that I had taken Reiki classes, nor that I had worked on the Theta healing. She knew none of that. So I knew that was all Spirit calling me out. That day was December 30th. And that night I vowed to try to use my hands to heal every day. So for the next week, I offered to heal anyone who asked. The more I laid my hands on people, the easier it became and my confidence grew. What was funny is that after that week, I coincidentally started getting requests from people to send them energy healings via email and text messages and Facebook. I thought, okay, Spirit, picking up what you're putting down. You want me to work on my remote healing because I asked for it. And how was I going to get better if I didn't practice? Got it. So I transitioned to sending my healings remotely. And guess what? The people reported back the sensation that they felt and confirmed their healed conditions. This clarified for me the information from my past life as a healer was legit and that I needed to not squander the opportunity to use those gifts to benefit others. Now tying this all back to the kids. So once the break was over, art classes started back the first week of January. At this point, I had fully and mentally stepped into my ownership of my healing abilities. During the class, there was a little girl who I had seen before, but hadn't talked to. For some reason, this child, who I'll call Sally, came over to me that day and asked me to help her with her drawing. And they were drawing chameleons that day. She said she needed help starting the head. So I started for her. Just as I was getting up to walk away to help others, she asked if I could help her draw the body. Okay. Did that. Began to get up. Could you help me draw the legs? Okay. I'll do it. So at this point, I settled down on my knees with a little bitty table because I knew she wasn't going to let me go anywhere. Inside, I wondered why she was being so needy because normally she's very independent in class. As another girl at her table asked me a question, I turned to answer it, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw Sally slyly looking over at me and studying my face and my hair and my face. It was very interesting. And I knew Spirit well enough by now to know that something was going on and that I needed to pay attention. As I sat there and helped her draw her entire chameleon, I decided to ask each child at the table, what did they name their chameleon? When I got to Sally, she looked at me and she said her chameleon was named X. She gave it a certain name. What was crazy was that the name that she said was my last name in the name of that life where I was a Native American healer. Yes, the one that healed many children. Mind you, the name is rather distinct. It's kind of like a third grader naming their dog Giuseppe. It's very, very distinct. So at that moment, it dawned on me. She recognized me. I don't know if she was someone who I helped or if she was someone who taught me something in that lifetime, but she was honoring my spirit by letting me know that I was back. It's kind of like when you hear couples say, yeah, we knew each other back in the day, but for some odd reason, we never noticed each other. It's like because each of you were not in the right space. But once you are, you see people and you see things differently. I mean, I had seen that child before Spirit gave me that not-so-subtle reminder in December to get back to healing. And once I did, she took notice of me. Or so I thought. Because a doubt crept back in. And as you know, I thought, well, I'm probably making it up. It's probably just a coincidence. But I couldn't get it off my mind. Then the following Wednesday, after service in the carriage house, Reverend Millie pulled me close and asked me, tell me about the God story you had over the past week. I drew a blank. I didn't know what she was talking about. Then she said, they're telling me that it may not have meant something to others, but it was important for you. And here went Spirit confirming for me again that my interaction with Sally was indeed what I thought it was, and gave me confidence to know that I know that I know that I know that I was in fact on my spiritual path. It was after that conversation that day that Reverend Millie asked me to speak on March 9th. And here I am. And what's even more of a full circle is that Reverend Rosie Oberlies, right here, from First Spiritualist Church, gave me a message back in October that I should start taking notes and prepare to give a lecture. Honestly, I thought, okay. And here we are. So what does all this mean? For me, it means that we all came back here to do work, to grow. And the key to that growth is to remember why we came. I am now certain that I came to heal people, including myself, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, as well as teach others to shift their mental constraints of what it means to be spiritual in this world. I came here to help people understand that we, all of us, as healers and light workers, need to be integrating our gifts into the world, helping the people of the world understand that we are all divine by nature and that we all came from love, are capable of loving, and should be loved. Spirit has confirmed my soul path for me. And as many of you know, in addition to being a lawyer, I'm a professor at two of the local law schools here. And this semester, for the first time ever, I have been very open with my students about my spirituality. And coincidentally, they have all been very open and receptive. So much so that I have been able to give messages to students in class. I've received messages from students. Another student gave me a crystal the other day. I've gotten requests by email to send them healings. And the list goes on and on and on. But what this shows me is that we are now in a time where we are needed in the world. And I know you know the phrase, to be in the world but not of the world. Well, I think that we're being called to be in the world and of the world so that we can change the world. Our lights are needed in every part of this world, and if you need a confirmation, just turn on the news. That's why I was getting that I needed to learn to integrate in this life. I mean, what good is it being a spiritual person when you aren't being a light in the darkest places, where you are needed most? This clarity helped me to shed my erroneous ideas of what it meant to be spiritual in this world. I don't have to walk around with my head shaved, chanting, or engaging in any self-denial. I can be regular me, showing people that God can and does use any and all of us. We don't have to be special, we just need to be willing. My challenge to you is to actively seek to remember who you are and why you came. If you're serious, Spirit will help you, likely via coincidences, which I now call confirmations. And the best part is there's nothing to fear as you embark upon this journey, since you already made the contract to come here to work it out, which means you were in the driver's seat the entire time. So thank you, guys.